This is The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. I'll ask the questions, and I'll let the book do the talking using words from its own pages. This is essentially a book interview. Your time is valuable, so let's get started. Today, I'll be interviewing The Silva Mind Control Method by Jose Silva. It currently has an overall rating of 4.6 on Amazon, and 77% of the reviewers call it a 5-star book. Question number one, what's the book about? This is a guidebook that uses meditation and visualization to help you alleviate stress, overcome bad habits and emotional insecurity, increase creativity, develop concentration, and harness your dreams. It teaches you to use your mind at a deeper and more effective level. Question. In the book, you say that meditation is the first step to use the mind at a deeper level. How do you teach people to enter this deeper level? Here is all you have to do to reach alpha, or the meditative level of mind. When you awaken in the morning, go to the bathroom if necessary, then return to bed. Set your alarm for 15 minutes later in case you drift off to sleep during the exercise. Now, close your eyes and look upward, behind your eyelids, at a 20-degree angle. For reasons not fully understood, this position of the eyes alone will trigger the brain to produce alpha. Now, slowly, at about 2-second intervals, count backward from 100 to 1, and so on. As you do this, keep your mind on it with your best concentration, and you'll be in alpha the very first time. Use the 100 to 1 method for 10 mornings. After that, count only from 50 to 1 for 10 more mornings, then 25 to 1, then 10 to 1, and finally 5 to 1. 10 mornings each. Question. So this adds up to 5 weeks of learning to meditate effectively upon awakening. After the final week of this practice, then what? Once you have learned to reach your level with the 5-to-1 method in the morning, you're now ready to enter your level at any other time of the day that you choose. All you need is 10 or 15 minutes to spare. Just sit in a comfortable chair or on a bed with your feet flat on the floor. Let your hands lie loosely in your lap. Hold your head well balanced, not slumped. Now concentrate first on one part of the body, then another, to consciously relax it. Maybe start with your left foot, then the left leg, then the right foot, and so on, until you reach the throat, the face, the eyes, and finally the scalp. You'll be amazed the first time you do this at how tense your body was. Now pick a spot above eye level on the ceiling or the wall opposite you. Gaze at this spot until your eyelids begin to feel a little heavy, and then let them close. Start your countdown from 50 to 1. I prefer counting backward to enter your level because at first it takes some concentration, and concentration is the key to success. Once you have reached your level several times with this method, the process will be more automatic. Question. And this is where your mind control method differs from most forms of meditation. What is the difference between passive and dynamic meditation? In the various meditative disciplines, the word meditation has a specific meaning, referring to a special level of mind. In some disciplines, reaching this level is an end in itself, clearing the mind of all conscious thought. This is passive meditation. If you do this, and nothing else, you will experience not only a happy stillness of mind, but far more, a deep and durable inner peace. As good as this is, mind control goes far beyond this. It teaches the student to use this level of mind for solving problems, little nagging ones, as well as the larger, burdensome ones. This is dynamic meditation, the power of which is truly spectacular. When you are working dynamically in the alpha level, you're in touch with higher intelligence. Question. What exactly do you do in dynamic meditation? Once you have reached the meditative level, to simply stay there and wait for something to happen is not enough. If you go beyond this passive meditation and train your mind for organized dynamic activities, which I believe it was designed for, the results will amaze you. What kinds of dynamic activity? Right from the beginning, from the very first moment you reach your meditative level, practice visualization. This is central to mind control. Using your mind, train your brain to go quietly into alpha and to attend exclusively to the job of creating a simple image more and more vividly. The better you learn to visualize, the more powerful will be your experience. The first step is to create a tool for visualization, a mental screen. It should be like a large movie screen, but should not quite fill your mental vision. Imagine it not behind your eyelids, but about 6 feet in front of you. Now, you'll project onto the screen whatever you choose to concentrate on. Once you have built this screen in your mind, project onto it something familiar and simple, like an orange or an apple. Each time you go to your level, stay with just one image. You may change it the next time. Concentrate on making it more and more real, in three dimensions, in full color, in all its details. Question. Why do you place so much emphasis on training the mind to concentrate deeply and then visualize? Many people think they can already do this. It's been said that the brain is like a drunken monkey. It lurches willy-nilly from one thing to another. It's surprising how little command we have over this brain of ours, despite the fine work it sometimes does for us. At other times, though, it operates behind our backs, treacherously creating a headache, then a rash, then an ulcer to top things off. The brain is too powerful, far too powerful, to leave out of our control. Once we learn to use our minds, to train it, we can do some astounding things. Just be patient with these training exercises. Using your mind, train your brain to go quietly into the alpha and attend exclusively to the job of creating simple images more and more vividly. Learn to think of nothing else and build this skill. In the beginning, as thoughts intrude, be gently forgiving. Slowly push them away and return to the single object at hand. Becoming irritated or tense will bring you directly out of alpha. Question. So what's the end goal of all this building of skills of meditation and visualization? The end goal is actually a giant leap forward. We're going to connect a real event with the desired one that you imagine and see what becomes of the imaginary one. If you operate according to some very simple laws, the imaginary event will become real. Law 1. You must truly desire that the event takes place. It can't be a fake project. For example, if you say, "The first person I see on the sidewalk tomorrow will be blowing his nose," it's so useless a project to work on that your mind will turn away from it immediately. It just won't work. Law 2. You must believe that the event can take place. For example, if your customer is overstocked with what you sell, you can't reasonably believe that he'll be eager to buy. If you can't believe the event can reasonably take place, your mind will be working against it. Law 3. You must expect that the event is going to take place. This is a subtle law. The first two are simple and passive. This third one introduces some dynamics. It's possible to desire an event, believe it can take place, and still not expect it to take place. For example, you want your boss to be pleasant tomorrow morning, and you know that he can be, but you still may be some distance from expecting it. This is where mind control and effective visualization come in. As you gradually increase your skill, you'll notice that you'll be able to believe and expect events that are less and less probable. Question. How can a rational person develop the necessary expectancy? Consider a real-life example. Tim Masters, a college student slash taxi driver in Fort Lee, New Jersey, uses his waiting time between fares for meditation. When local business is slow, he puts a solution on his mental screen, someone carrying suitcases who wants to go to Kennedy Airport. He says, quote, "The first few times I tried it, nothing. Then it happened, a man with suitcases going to Kennedy. Next time I put this man on my screen, got that feeling you get when things are working and along comes another person heading to Kennedy. It works. It's like a winning streak that won't quit." End quote. Now, will this always work invariably without a hitch? No. However, here's what you'll experience if you keep at it. One of your very earliest problem-solving meditation sessions will work. When it does, it'll seem like a coincidence. Then, it'll work a second time and a third. The coincidences start to pile up. But if you stop your mind control activities, there will be fewer coincidences. Go back to it, and the coincidences multiply again. In time, with practice, the results you achieve will be more and more astounding, and with results, you'll begin to build a sense of expectation. Question: can you give practical steps for this kind of dynamic meditation? Choose a real problem that you face, one that has not yet been resolved. As an illustration, let's go back to the example of your boss, and let's say that your boss has been ill-tempered lately. There are three steps to go through once you reach your level. Step 1. On your mental screen, thoroughly recreate a recent event which involved the problem. Relive it for a moment. See the boss being unhappy. Step 2. Gently push the scene off the screen to the right. Slide onto the screen another scene that'll take place tomorrow. In this scene, everyone around the boss is cheerful, and the boss is on a receiving end of good news. He is clearly in a better mood now. If you know specifically what was causing the problem, visualize the solution at work. Visualize it as vividly as you did the problem. Step 3. Now push this scene off the screen to the right and replace it with another from the left. The boss is happy now, fully as pleasant as you know he can be. Experience this scene as vividly as if it had actually happened. Stay with it for a while and get the full feel of it. This is an example of dynamic meditation. Question: you tell of a personal story in the book during a critical time in your life that led you to revere the power of dreams. What happened exactly? Answer: when I began investigating the possible usefulness of dreams in problem solving, I was not at all sure what I would find. I had heard many stories of premonitions occurring in dreams. Caesar was warned in a dream about the Ides of March, the very day, as it turned out, when he was assassinated. And Lincoln, too, dreamed of premonitions of his assassination. Were these one-time events? I was asking this question at a time when I was unsure of my life's work around the study of mind control, and money was short. I went to bed and had a dream that night. This dream was not a series of events, like most dreams, but simply a light. My field of dream vision was filled with midday sunlight, gold, very bright. In this light, I saw three numbers, 343. Then another set of numbers, 373. The next day, through an elaborate series of seemingly unrelated events, I arrived at a store that sold lottery tickets. Now, throughout the entire Republic of Mexico, each of the hundreds of thousands of vendors, like this little store, receives tickets with the same three numbers every month. This store was the only one in the entire nation which sold number 343. I arrived there and I bought the ticket. A few weeks later, I learned that this first lottery ticket I ever bought had won $10,000, which I sorely needed. As elated as I was, I looked this gift horse carefully in the mouth, and what I found was more valuable by far than the gift itself. It was the foundation for a solidly based conviction that my studies were worthwhile. Somehow, I had made contact with higher intelligence. Maybe I had made contact with it many times before and didn't know it. This time, I knew. My lottery-winning dream convinced me of the existence of higher intelligence and of its ability to communicate with me. Question: what advice would you give to help someone tap into the same power of dreams? While meditating just before going to sleep, say, "I want to remember a dream. I will remember a dream." Now go to sleep with paper and pencil by your bedside. When you awaken, whether during the night or in the morning, write down what you remember of a dream. Keep practicing this night after night, and your recall will be clearer, more complete. When you're satisfied with your improved skill of remembering, you're now ready for step two. During meditation before going to sleep, review a problem that can be solved with information or advice. Be sure that you really care about solving it. Silly questions evoke silly answers. Now program yourself with these words: I want to have a dream that will contain information to solve the problem I have in mind. I will have such a dream, remember it, and understand it. Question: what do you say to cynics who think all this parapsychology stuff is just nonsense? Yes, it is crazy. It violates everything we've experienced in this sane world. Too often we think of the imagination as an irresponsible creator of nonsense. Often it is. But works of art are the products of trained imaginations. Psychic results are also the product of imaginations trained in a very specific way. When solving problems with these methods, the logical mind might tempt you to start reasoning things out, stifling your psychic powers, just as it does in everyday life. When you're using mind control methods we teach, set your doubts aside and dive right in. Listen to your hunches, but above all, do not try to reason out your findings. Don't say, "Oh, that can't be." What occurs to you on the first thought is more often correct than what occurs on second thought. You are imagining and learning to trust the first thing that comes to mind. This is the psychic gift coming through. Last question: what is your final advice for anyone considering your method of mind control? The Silva method, most importantly, teaches a person to use the deeper levels of their mind. Our minds are not confined to our heads. They reach out. To reach out effectively, they must be motivated by desire, fueled by belief, sparked by expectancy. If you spur your imagination with belief, desire, and expectancy, and train it to visualize your goals so that you see, feel, hear, taste, and touch them, you will simply get what you want. And finally, my favorite quotes from the book are as follows. Concentration is the key to success. The better you learn to visualize, the more powerful will be your experience. As you gradually increase your skill, you'll notice that you'll be able to believe and expect events that are less and less probable. With results, you'll begin to build a sense of expectation. The mind must be motivated by desire, fueled by belief, sparked by expectancy. My lottery-winning dream convinced me of the existence of a higher intelligence and of its ability to communicate with me. And that's it for this book interview with the Silva Mind Control Method by Jose Silva. You've been listening to The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change your life. You can order this book in the links below or on our website if you'd like to support our cause. It puts a few pennies in our pockets without taking any extra pennies from yours. As always, thank you for your time.